Kana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
It ain't always easy, but I know that God is always good, and He has never failed me, so I know He'll work it for my good.
Yeah.
Good morning, and top of the morning to all our listeners. You're welcome. Yes, another lovely Sunday morning, and you're tuned to Radio Africana, and you are welcome to Morning Dew. I'm Pastor Wale Adesanya. It is well with your soul. It is well with your progress. It is well with your family. It is well with all your aspirations, your anticipations, your expectations, and the Lord will meet you at the point of your need in every one of these situations in the name of Jesus. Yes, good morning, lovely people. It is a privilege to be here, as always, to see another new day. We just want to thank the Lord, acknowledge Him for His faithfulness, bringing us into yet another new day and the opportunities that a new day brings. And so, Father, we thank You because we know it is well. We thank You because we know that You who have begun this work with us will see us through. We thank You, Lord, for how far You've brought us. We thank You, Lord, for Your many multifaceted dealings with us, you know, by Your means of grace. Thank You, Lord, for protection. Thank You for food, for raiment, for shelter. Thank You for the things that You do that we're not even aware of. Lord, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for how You're dealing with us. You desire, the Bible says, purity in inward parts. Lord, as You deal with us, as You prune us, as You're trimming us, as You're molding us to become even that which You've anticipated, prophesied, and predicted, you know, even in the scriptures, Lord, we ask that You will take total and absolute control. May we remain teachable. May we remain malleable. May we be people that are coachable, me that are willing and obedient, that we might eat of the good of the land. We might take delivery of Your promises. We just want to thank You for every family represented, every one of our listeners and their families. Thank You, Lord, for bringing them this far in the year 2025. As always, we just see each day is a new day, each week is a new progression, and day by day we are on a journey. We just once again commit our spirits, our souls, and our body unto You, that You would mold us, Lord. You would fashion us into that which You have, you know, desired that we should become, the outcomes that You have, you know, the desires that You have concerning each and every one of us. And we pray that as we journey, as we mature, as we come to a deeper understanding of that which You expect from us, that which is required, that we might be able to stay true to the process, go through trusting You, believing You, being led by Your Spirit to arrive at our effectual destination. We want to remember those who are not here for one reason or the other. Father, be with them. Grant them their heart's desires, those that need restoration. I pray that Your hand will rest upon them. Those that need healing, make them whole. And after it all, Lord, may we all be able to come together to thank You and praise Your name for the things that only You could have done. We ask all of this and thank You in Jesus' name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Okay, we've got quite a bit on hand today that we want to cover. I think last week we were trying an introduction, and I was believing that the Spirit will help us. So we stumbled on, we started our introduction with the book of Luke. Yes, we're looking at Luke 24. I just want to give a quick summary here. This is an account of the journey of both the disciples and the journey of Jesus. And it's a very interesting place because there's a lot of information we can glean concerning milestones. Of course, we have been on a series of milestones. And so this account of Luke, right, it's a very interesting journey. It is a journey. And it is one of, it's the only one really in the four Gospels that gives a specific account and detail. You know, it's a story that reveals, you know, to us not only some things about ourselves, who we are, but also about Jesus. Okay, as particularly how He opens the eyes of these few disciples, okay, for them to be able to see Him, and a little bit about Himself as well, you know, and how we can also overcome, you know, or can come to a place of coming out of being ignorant, having our eyes open, and coming to a place of understanding to recognize and know Him. The Bible says, I desire to know Him and the power of His resurrection, you know, the fellowship of His suffering. So we fellowship in His sufferings, we desire to know Him, and there's a power of His resurrection, there's a power of His being that is being unfolded to us, and He desires us for us to walk in that. You know, it's interesting in this particular chapter, there's a lot that's compressed there. The journey on the way to Emmaus is both a literal journey and a spiritual journey. Okay, so we were looking at, you know, the interesting milestones for the disciples' journey and some of the milestones for the master. So we're going to try and break it down. We'll look at the disciples first, understand certain things, reiterate certain things that we should know at this point in our journey. And then just to recap, we talked about a landmark on a journey, you know, being a kind of measure of how far we have traveled or how far there is still to go. And so when we're talking about milestones, we talked about how people celebrate, you know, milestones. We talked about different definitions, maybe a breakthrough or graduation and achievement. You know, they have achieved something to that point in their journey, and so they want to celebrate. And some other people go beyond that to be just a celebration, to come into a much deeper, you know, understanding where they reflect how far they've come. We talked a lot about the SWOT analysis, looking at your strengths, your weaknesses, the opportunities available to you, and any threats. And we find that having this very deep, you know, stock taking and reflective time at the milestone really helps you to avoid probably mistakes, things that you have ignored, so that you don't repeat them again, and that you improve in the rest part of your journey. And so it is with our spiritual life, you know. And so it's very important that we're looking at these milestones. So the last sessions we did highlight certain key points, right? This event took place after his resurrection, and it is recorded that he was on earth for about 40 days, okay, after the resurrection up to this point, you know. And he appeared to different folks. So again, we see his interaction with people, particularly because he had taken upon a new form, which I mentioned last week. You know, he had moved into a different dimension of his progression, of his own journey, you know. And he had taught this man, you know, for several, you know, years. You know, he had been with them for a couple of, you know, years. They had been learning, and even up to this point where there's an overlap and he eventually exits the stage, literally, you know, they were still learning from him. And we see particularly here that even at some point they were still not able to pick certain things, even though they had journeyed that far with Jesus, and he still needed to restrain, you know, they open their restrained eyes so they could come to an understanding of who he was. And it's just important that it's not just a literal story, but that we need to also understand in our own journey with him, in our journey to understand him, in our fellowship with him and coming to understand his suffering, you know, we are on a journey with him. And I did mention a very important scripture, which I'll just, what do I do now? I'll mention it once I've gone through the points we looked at last week, you know. But it was talking about the fact that he went into the synagogue and he taught there, and he looked into the scriptures where it was written concerning him. All right, so there's also an account of disciples, okay, journeying also. There's also the account of the master's journey, like I mentioned. All right, and these are things we can gain a lot when it comes to milestone in this particular chapter. Right, so these had been, they had been with Jesus for a while. Again, when we look further, you know, into where this leads to, which we will try to get there at some point, we begin to look at some of the things that had happened after he instructed them to wait in Jerusalem, to tarry, to receive the power before they went out to minister. So it was the culmination of what he had been imparting to them, and for them to take delivery of the promise of the Father. Especially when you look at the Acts chapter 3, we'll find some time look at that, and Acts chapter 4. You know, in Acts chapter 3, we had the case of the man at the beautiful gate, and we can glean a lot from that. We'll look at that in more detail. But then again, in Acts chapter 4, some of the people now recognize that these men were not learning and had been with Jesus. But then the outcome, what it is they were being able to, you know, what's the word, manifest in terms of authority, power, dynamics in the spiritual realm, was really incredible. And they noticed that they had not learned, they had not been trained, but boy oh boy, look at the proofs that they were, you know, demonstrating. And so in terms of our journey following that of the disciples, the whole idea is that we'll come to know the personality of Jesus. There'll be processes we have to go through as we encounter the Word, as we engage with the Word, as we connect with the Word, as we understand the right processes, the prescribed way for us. And that if we will follow these instructions, be consistent in that process, stick with the plan, stay on course, keep our gaze on him fixed, we you will also be able to, you know, take delivery of testimonies like that of the disciples. So literally, that's just what we're trying to understand in the course of this journey, looking at the journey of disciples, you know. So like I said, they had their eyes restrained, and then it had a very important question, which is so important here, but we're going to try and see how we can answer that in the course of our journey through the scripture. And it was, I asked the question, what is so important about, you know, having communion with Jesus Christ? What is so important about having communion with Jesus Christ? And we recognize it was that part in this chapter of Luke 24 that when he came and fellowship with them and had communion, then their eyes was, you know, the veil upon their eyes was lifted, and you know, they were able to see. Okay, so I did promise the scripture about Jesus Christ in the synagogue, and that's documented in Luke chapter 4 and starting from verse 15. And he taught in the synagogue, okay, before being glorified by all, so that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of prophets Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." All right, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendants, okay, and sat down. And the eyes of all those who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, okay. And he began to say today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All right, so you know, all of this bore witness to him, all bore witness to him, and they marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Okay, so we'll stop there. That's verse 22. So I've just read Luke chapter 14, verses 13 to 22. Okay, now the important reference there is that this whole journey begins with the Word. The Bible starts in the beginning in Genesis, you know, and then we have John, "In the beginning was the Word was with God." And it goes on to say, "Without the Word was nothing made that was made." So there is a journey we're going on, and God's preferred tool, okay, for creating anything he wants to create in our lives is the Word of God. And so our capacity to handle the Word of God, you know, will really help us in this journey, so that we can, as it were, trust the process. We can go through the process. We can have our eyes open when they need to be open, and our ears open when they need to be open as well, to hear clearly and to have hearts that understand. The Bible admonishes us to, you know, seek knowledge, and not just knowledge but wisdom, and knowledge, you know, that can be applied. So it's the application of that knowledge, you know. And we're not talking just about mental assent, but as we go on in our study today, we'll be looking at, it's a need to move on from just mental assent, taking it from the letter that kill it, to be able to take in the spirit and life that's in the Word of God, and knowing the difference, you know. And the Lord will help us as we proceed. So we'll be recapping on certain things at this point. My mind comes back, is quite taken back to the story in the book of Mark is before my Matthew. Let me get my Bible here. Yep. Okay, Mark, Luke. Right, so Mark chapter 4, very interesting story, and it is a long chapter. We have dealt with this before, but I just want to highlight certain points. Okay, so Mark chapter 4, and he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it, and the whole multitude. So we see here him begin to teach, and he taught them many things by parables in verse 2. And he said to them in his teaching, listen, behold. Then he explains. I'm not going to save us all that long discussion there. Verse 9 says, and then he said to them, okay, who has ears, let him hear. And then when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about the parable, and he said to them again, he began to expound from verses 11. Okay, a couple of points I want to highlight here. In this book of Mark, there is a message about the sower. There is Jesus teaching to different, what I call, audiences. Okay, so his communication to be effective, effectively distributed, okay, and efficient use of his energy and his time, there was a need to sense the spiritual level of his audience. So he first started off with the multitude. Okay, and you must have perceived that they had a level of understanding, as a level of their relationship with him. There's a level of how far they had journeyed with him. And so, if you know, like if you had something to say to members of your family, it's how you would talk to your husband, there's how you will talk to the teenagers, and then you want to communicate the same things to the little ones, you'll that's how you'll have to adapt the message to everybody's level. Even though you're trying to come, well, listen, we're going somewhere, everybody has to get ready, you need to wash up your clothes, brush your teeth, blah 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 blah, we're going on a trip. So we have a way of communicating that whole message to everybody, and everybody knows how they respond to different understanding for what is being communicated. And so it is here. Okay, so this is a level of teaching and communicating the message of the parable, sorry, in the form of a parable for the audience, as explained. And there is a defining trait for the next audience, and this is evident in verses 10 and 11. He says, but when he was alone, verse 10, okay, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, okay, but to those who are outside, all right, are things come in parables. So you can see that clear definition between verses 10 and verses 11 about the distinction of these two categories of his audience. Okay, so what I'm trying to communicate here, the journey starts with the word. The journey starts with you taking the word, whatever level you're at, all right, and then you can interpret it at that level. But those who come closer, those who are going deeper, those who have a yearning, a hunger and a thirst, there are certain questions, there's a desire for more that they have. And to them, he said here, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And I want to say that everyone who's come into a relationship with Christ, it's given to you as an inheritance, that you will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, so that is the expectation that is there for you. Again, is how you respond to the word. We know that the summary of this whole teaching was talking about different grounds, all right, and he used the parable to explain the fact that there were different grounds, and that the word, you know, came, was sown, is scattered, distributed, dispersed, okay, dispersed, you know. Now, because of the spiritual posture, okay, to the message, okay, of the word spoken, the word heard had to be taken root, okay, and it must reach a place with an atmosphere conducive for it to germinate. So we know that the word in this parable is being equated to the seed that was sown. All right, so the seed is dispersed, the seed is scattered, it must reach a particular type of ground and have certain atmosphere for it to germinate. All right, so depending on how each person's heart, which is supposed to be the ideal ground, responds or reacts to the seed, then they can journey further in the potential that's locked within the seed. Okay, so the word will be required to go through a process to bring about understanding to the hearer. All right, we said the letter killeth, but it's the spirit that gives life. And says in John chapter 6 verse 63, the words that I speak to you, they are both spirit and they are life. So this seed of God's word has spirit and life in them that needs to find expression. Let's take that slowly. This seed of God's word has spirit and is life and needs to find expression. So here is the seed going through some process to locate good ground, to get an atmosphere, a ground that can interact with it, to trigger the next phase, okay, of releasing what is embedded within the seed. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And we see that in John chapter 10 and verse 28. So my sheep know me, okay, and they follow me. Now, I was watching a little video the other day on a shepherd calling out to his sheep, and he told everybody literally the code in the voice that they could, and three of them went in there and they mimicked the code, but the sheep did not respond. And as soon as the shepherd came and he communicated that code, you need to see how all the sheep gathered together and they came towards the pen. So it is. So anybody can come and want to mimic Christ's words, mimic Christ's interaction with us, but there is embedded a code that the sheep, you know, understand when the shepherd is addressing them. And so it is with the word of God. All right, so my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Right? It says, and verse 20, it says, and I give unto them eternal life. Now look at that. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Think about that. Everyone that hears this word is entitled, because the shepherd, the good shepherd, gives them eternal life. And he's also giving them access to deeper inheritance. Okay? And he goes on to say that neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. And I remember this prayer when we look at John 17, and Jesus was trying to round up, and he said to the Father that none except the son of perdition that's been given to him will be taken away from him. So there's a security in connecting with the word of God, allowing it to get to its right destination, and what it can deliver to you if you know how to trigger, respond appropriately by faith. Okay, so this is particularly true because the way the word is packaged and the process it must go through, okay, to reveal its original intent and purpose is very specific. Right? Then for the purpose to find expression in and through those that journey into the discovery of the full expression, okay, then there's a need to, like I said, to go on a journey of discovery. You need to study, you need to find out, you need to spend time in the scriptures so that you come to a place of understanding. Okay, so it's beyond mental assent. The way we read the scripture, the letter kill it, but the spirit that gives life, that word has to journey beyond our mental faculties. Okay, journey beyond the way we take in letters written in a book, to allow the potential within the seed to find expression. But it has to reach your heart. Now the process for that is for you to meditate, study, to show yourself, do your due diligence, researching the word, and stay in it, you know, delight, the Bible says, in the word, and it will bring you to a place where the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, your eyes, your ears are open to hear spiritual things, and your heart comes to a place, you know, through transformation, okay, to be able to comprehend spiritual things. All right, so without the word was nothing made that was made. We saw that in John chapter 1 verse 3. So whatever his intents and purposes are, he uses the creative agency of his word to produce, okay, to give expression in the physical reality. It requires understanding and subsequent right application to produce proofs, miracles, signs, and wonders in your world. Okay, so you'll read about these things, you'll read about the potential of the word, you'll read about the purpose of the word, you'll read about the things that are potential literally within the seed until it is able to be triggered to release that which is within it. And if it doesn't get to the right ground, that trigger point in that process is not reached. And so everything that was potential remains dormant, remains inert, and never finds expression. And it's just very good that we understand that. So there's a process, there's how we interact with the word, there's a positioning of our heart. The Bible says in Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. There's a stony heart that we have. It is like rock. It will not take in the word. There has to be a transformation through the Spirit to get our heart to be softened so that it can be the appropriate good ground to receive the word of God, to react appropriately by faith, you know, to the word of God that's been planted in our hearts. I pray the Lord give us all understanding in Jesus' name. Okay. So I know that's going back a little bit, but I think it had to be said so that we really understand where we're going to, you know, concerning this journey of the disciples, which also for us is looking into the scriptures to see where it is written concerning us. And we can learn a lot from the examples of Jesus. We can learn a lot from the disciples, what they went through, you know. And there's so many things that we will find on our journey, but the scripture helps us to understand why it is necessary. Now, at some point we did talk, and let me see, we're talking about progression, you know, journeying, and one of the things we established is that every progression, everything that we're trying to, you know, every progress we're trying to make has to be not just giving lip service to. There must be a way of measuring your progress. Okay, so we're talking about how much water we're putting in a container. There must be a way of measuring the volume. We're talking about how much carpet we want to put in a room. There must be a way of measuring the area. Okay, so if we're trying to fill up something, or we're trying to meet a certain outcome or goal, there must be a measure. And we talked about the measure being love. You know, I'm not going to go back into that, but it's a different kind of measurement when it comes to the word of God. And we, one of the things we did say was that love has fulfilled the requirements of the law. And also what we'll find, that Jesus came to fulfill the requirements of the law. So we'll be looking at that much in more detail as we go on. But one thing I want to read here, it's very important. Okay. And that's the fact that there is a measure, there is a fullness, there is a stature that we are coming to in Christ. Okay, so there's an expected end, there is a growing up. It's like, you know, you're looking at the seed, it's going to grow up into a shoot, which we find also in Mark chapter 4. It talks about the blade first, you know, it talks about the stem, the branches, you know, and it's on the full plant. So the whole process can be broken down into stages, and then when the plant comes to full bloom or full maturity, there is a way you can measure, and then you can say, ah, it's time for the harvest, it's time, because the fruits have come, they're laid in now, and it's time to bring in the sickle and to harvest the fruits and everything. I pray that as we journey, the Lord will cause us not just to abide in him, so that if we abide in him and he abide in us, he will cause us to bear fruit. And may our fruits abide in Jesus' name. So this that you're coming in contact with, the life that's within the word of God, all right, and the spirit and life, okay, that you're coming in, not only are you to come in contact with it and it becomes real to you, but it's something that will do its work in you and be able to find expression, you know, through you and into your world. That's when you have really demonstrated that you've taken delivery, you've gone through the process, you understand how to handle what has been imparted to you, and subsequently you can distribute, subsequently you can make it available to other people. Okay, so we'll take a break now with that basic introduction, and then we'll go further into this process so that we come to some deeper understanding of the milestones and the journey the disciples have come through, which is a journey we all through are going to go through, and how to, you know, walk that journey and take delivery of this expected end also. See you on the flip side of the break.
Jesus at the center of it all.
Yes, you're welcome. You're joining us. You're welcome to Morning Dew. Right, so we're continuing our study for us on our series, The Milestone. And we're looking at this very interesting story, a journey, literal journey and a spiritual journey from which we can glean quite a bit in the book of Luke chapter 24. So we have the disciples journeying on the road to Emmaus, and they had an encounter with Jesus after his resurrection. And the Bible says that they didn't know that he was among them because they had their eyes restrained. And we read last week, I believe it was, in the details of that journey. We're just looking, going further, particularly at the focusing on the journey of the disciples that had been with him. He had been teaching them, you know, they had been learning a lot of things. But this is a point where they're coming to the end of their time with Jesus. And just the last few things that we can learn of his interaction with them. And it overlaps into him leaving, you know, being taken up, and them carrying on. So they had to demonstrate what they had been imparted with, what they're taking delivery of, and be able to produce the expected outcome. So they too received the life and the spirit, and were able to go out there to demonstrate power and authority through proofs, you know, in their ministration. I gave examples of what happened in the book of Acts, so many testimonies there, we'll get there eventually. So we're trying to look, you know, decipher the process and look at a few important things here. And a couple of points I want to highlight as we go. The walk of faith, the walking, you know, and being led by the Spirit is a very interesting journey. So we're on this journey. So of course it will have milestones. It must have a measure. We've talked about that. Okay. And we're all created in the image, the likeness and image of him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 verse 23 that all have sinned and fallen short. So there is a spiritual condition that needs to be addressed, and that's exactly why Jesus came, to return us, okay, back even to that place of glory. We've all fallen short, okay, of the glory of God, but the intent of redemptive plan of God, the Savior, the deliverer of mankind, was to take the God's people, return them back to a place that they can give expression to the glory of God. Okay, so we know a very important scripture I would mention, it's you know, the fact that for whom he did foreknow, he predestined to be conformed to the image and the pattern of his son. So that's in the scripture, that's the expectation, all right, that we will be able to give expression, and as many as believed in him, he gave power to become sons of God. So there is a becoming of sons of God. As we behold him, you know, we become like him. So we need to understand exactly how it is we behold him, so that the hearts that the Lord promised in Ezekiel, you know, 33, I'll give them a new heart, and replace the stony heart. We may yield ourselves to that process, to that dealing of God, the pruning, everything that the Lord wants to do with the old man, the old nature, and bring us into the fullness of being beings that can give expression to the glory of God. Okay. Right, so there are battles, there are obstacles, okay, there are distractions, there's oppositions. We need to learn how to handle this. We talk about in Psalm 2, verses 1 to 3. Why did the heathen rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? God will look at them and laugh. I want you to know that the Lord is with you on the journey, and he will take you to that expected end. You need to stay the course. You need to trust him. You need to trust in the process. You need to be prepared to do whatever it takes to take delivery of the expected outcome, and the Lord will give you understanding as you do so. That's why we're taking so much time to look into the details of exactly how we carry on. We talked about, you know, certain times in our journey that we may be discouraged, you know, we may feel like we have not really achieved as much as we want, or sometimes we're coming to certain battles, things are taken from us, are removed from us, and they need to be restored. We need to recapture ground that has been lost. And we give the example of David in 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, and he encouraged himself in the Lord, and he took some time to ask, to seek the face of the Lord. Do I pursue? Do I recover? What do I do? And after he had taken the time, the Lord gave him instruction to go and to pursue, and he got, was able to have everything that was stolen restored. The Lord restored to you all that the panka worm and palmer worm and everything in certain seasons you've lost, and the Lord will give you, you know, great speed in taking delivery of what was recovered and moving on, so that you can get to your eventual destination. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, be encouraged, you know, be strong, okay? And so we have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's not by will of it's not by the will of any man. It's not of him that will it or run it. But we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we're trying to understand how we become strong, how we can be encouraged, how we use God's established agency of his word. Without the word was nothing made that was made, to help us in our journey so that we can get to the expected destination. Our progress along the journey must be measured. We spoke about that extensively. Okay, now I want us to look at something very important in the next few minutes that we have here, to just really anchor and establish this issue of measurement. And just before the break, I was talking about the fact that if it's, you know, area, then you want to, you know, carpet a space, you must measure the area. If it's filling up something, then you want to know how much volume. So there must be a measure to know where we have got to in the progress of either filling up the space or filling up the container. There must be some kind of measure. And so it is spiritually. So now let's look at a very interesting scripture. I'll just take a few bits here, but you can study the entire chapter on your own. And this is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm looking, starting from verse 7. Okay, but to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So you can see this means of grace, everyone has been given, just like you have a measure of faith. Okay, it says to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So there is a gift of Christ that we all have, and there's a grace accordingly that has been given. Verse 8 says, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So we're reading in Luke chapter 24, the end of his journey, and he ascended. But it's recapping here in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8, when he ascended on high, when he had finished his assignment, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he says he ascended, now this, he ascended, what does that really mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Okay, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above. So he filled all. He descended and he ascended. He is Lord of all. He's filled every atmosphere, every level, you know, every occupation within the realms of the spirit physically. He has filled all and all. Okay? And that was one of the things he came to achieve. And he himself gave some to be apostles, all right? Some prophets, some evangelists. So we're looking at some of the gifts, and some pastors and teachers. Okay? And it was given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay? Now, note this, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Okay? And so there's the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We talked about that we might know him, fellowship in his suffering, and we may be, you know, what do you call it, conversant with the power of his resurrection. So you can see the things we have to come into: unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, to a perfect man. Can you see the outcome? To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there is the measure. Christ is that measure. Okay, where you are in your journey, where you are with the gifting and the grace upon your life, and how much of that capacity that's within has found expression is what is being measured. And we talk about growing, it talks about maturing. Time will not permit me, because of our time, we'll probably look at it next week. We'll look at different versions and what they, you know, translate this. It says in verse 14 that we should no longer be children. You may come in, you know, as a child, you may come in not knowing. You are not to remain as a child. You are to grow, you are to mature in your understanding, in how you conduct yourself, in how you go through your spiritual warfare, in the level of your capacity to understand things through the knowledge that you have and apply yourself. Wisdom, okay, is profitable to direct. Okay, it says let's just take that 14 again, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. There's a lot of that trickery of men. There's fake news, fake ministry, fake gifts. There's a whole lot of stuff that is not genuine. You should be able to wave through all of that to discern, okay? And said, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, okay? But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Okay, so I'll stop there. It speaks for itself. There is a need to grow. There is a need to go through the process. Now remember, we're relying on, you know, God's agent of change, which is his word. It's also his creative tool. Without the word was nothing made that was made. John chapter 1 verses 1 to 3. This life that God is creating, building to find expression in you and through you, this spiritual maturity that we're talking about, okay, is going to be built up on the strength of your level of interaction, connectivity, and understanding of the dynamic spiritually of what's happening in you, through you, to give expression of the glory to your world. So there's a lot going on there. So I just wanted to really, you know, touch on that very important point as we journey, okay? So that we're able to understand, all right, why we're going to this very important fundamentals here. So that we're not assuming everybody's in a know. We know the scriptures we need to look at. And you need to also, you know, having studied, the Bible says that we'll not just be hearers, but doers also. It says we need to look into the perfect law of liberty as one that looks himself in a mirror. So everything we're reading is communicating, as long as you take time to study and to meditate, to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. So there's a work you're called to do. There's a studying that you need to study. There's meditating. There's spending time in the presence of the Lord, in the word of God, to allow the word, like the seed, find good ground, find expression, to germinate, to go through its process, to bring forth the outcome, the harvest. And I pray the Lord will find within each and every one of you vessels that are prepared, teachable, coachable, so that this word can find full expression in and through us to our world. Okay, so that which is spirit and life within the word, right, needs to find expression. And there is this essential process in handling and interacting with the seed, okay, which is the word. So we've established that, okay. Now the illustration of the dispersion of the seed in the parable of the sower, okay, and is falling on different ground, is very helpful in us understanding this essential process, okay, on of what might the interaction, you know, or based on what that interaction might be in the presence of the seed when it's in good ground. I'll take that slowly. On what might be the reaction to the presence of the seed based on the type of ground. So what am I saying? Each ground had the opportunity to come into the presence, or the presence of the seed came in contact with different ground, and each one had the opportunity to react or not react with the seed. So we looked in the parable of the sower. When you take your time to study Mark chapter 4, different grounds were not able to react as expected to produce germination. They were not ideal. They did not have the right interaction. They could not trigger, okay, the next phase, which was for it to start germinating and then move on from there. So it took the quality of the good ground, which is the quality of a heart that has been transformed, okay, to receive the word of God and to trigger the germination. So when we talk about hearing the word, it just explains through this illustration, okay, of the seed, how it must take root in your heart. It's not to have mental assent. It's not an academic exercise. You must learn to meditate, to take it into your spirit, to take time to digest, to ask the spirit to help you with each stage of revelation, to have a deeper understanding, so that you have your eyes open, you have your ears open and you'll have a heart that's been transformed so that it can understand and capture fully the intent and the purpose of the word you've received. Remember, he disperses his word by, you know, insight, by revelation, by trances, a prophetic word, whichever way he chooses to administer or disperse the word to you. It must reach your heart. Your heart must be in the right posture. Okay, so it therefore implies that there is an ideal ground that prompts or that triggers a reaction, an appropriate response to and from the seed. Based on this appropriate response, there can be an advancing or proceeding to other stages of expression of the very purpose of the word. Okay, he sent forth his word, it will not return to him void, and so it must fulfill the purpose for which it has been sent, you know. And so it's so important to establish that base ground. Okay, and we need to understand that this journey is a journey into discovery and grasping of the full expression of what is the original intent of the word that has been sent. Okay, and so if we look at the process in the parable of the sower, if you're the audience at the level of the multitudes, there is not much insight that you can go. You have come in contact with the word, you have heard the word, but it's not going to take much fruit, it's not going to bring much understanding, except you prepare and have the right posture, like the disciples, like those that were close to Jesus, and we can respond appropriately. Okay, lovely people, we'll stop at this juncture for today. I think that's enough, we've communicated, and then we'll look in next week at understanding how this is so significant to the progress that the disciples made, and how we have to make the same kind of progress. And because it is written concerning us, and the victory was won, then Jesus said, whatever things he did, greater than that you can do also. We'll look into all of that in more detail next week. It's been a pleasure being with you. I hope you've been blessed. I hope you're taking it in. And I pray that every word spoken today will locate the good ground of your heart, and that the Lord will do that work which only him can do. There are things that only the Lord can do in our lives. And I pray that we will get to our destination, our expected end, and we'll be able to be living proof, producing signs, wonders, and miracles in our world. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause you to, you know, spontaneously respond to the word of God and bring glory to him. I pray that the Lord will provide for you, your family, and meet you at the point of your needs. Till we meet again, same time next week. God bless you. It's been a pleasure being with you. Bye for now, and have a great Sunday.
Darkness tremble.